Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Kathy. I'm one of the pastors here. If I haven't met you, it is so good to have you here. For those who are watching online, please know that we miss you. We know that some of you can't join us because of circumstances that are beyond your control. So know that you're still part of us. Thank you so much, Annette and worship team as well. I just had such a beautiful peace just sweeping over me this morning as you led us in worship. So thank you so much, worship and tech team. I wonder if you've had times in your life where you've almost quivered with anticipation for a coming event. Perhaps you counted down the sleeps, or no doubt your mind wandered often in the days and the weeks leading up to that event. Your mind wandered to that. So what I'd love you to do is share with someone near you, is there something like that, an event in your life that you were really looking forward to? Perhaps it's still to come, but for many of us it may be something that we can recall in our past, something where you were really anticipating it coming. Have a quick share with someone near you. By the level of excitement in the room, I suspect there's some things that we're looking forward to coming up, maybe. I saw you counting down the days on your hand, is that right? Is there something that you're looking forward to? Flying to Paris on Thursday, oh my gosh. Wow. That trumps having my birthday on Friday. You know, my prayer for this teaching series that we've been doing, Living in Light of Eternity, that we're drawing to a close today, is that our eyes would be lifted with anticipation for the perfection that awaits us in the future for all who put their faith in Christ. That our hope would be renewed yet again, that all the injustice, all the things in this life that cause us to feel tired and dismayed will all be set right when Christ returns. We really are living in the microdot right now of what is an eternally magnificent future for all who choose Christ. May our hearts and minds wander to that future often. May the Holy Spirit increasingly enable us to lay hold of it in such a way that we do quiver with anticipation. And may the knowledge of that future cause us to seize the day, to live in the microdot of now, wisely and well. Because although the microdot is but a breath in the context of eternity, our choices in the microdot will last for all of eternity. Jesus spoke of this often, and today we're going to look at just one of the parables that he told about this, the parable of the talents. And it's about living life well in the microdot. So Frank is going to come and read to us. Thank you.
Good morning. From the NIV, Matthew chapter 25, and the words of Jesus. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Ooh, wow, welcome to December. You know, this parable is smack bang in the middle of an extended discourse where Jesus speaks of his return. And so he's just told the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, where he speaks about us being ready for his return. And then he moves on to talk about this parable of, I notice they say gold in this, often it's translated as talents. So I'm going to refer to it as parable of the talents, which really is capturing the importance of what we do in the meantime. So it's, you know, this teaching, yes, he is coming again, but here's what we need to do to make sure that we live wisely now. What will Jesus be looking for when he returns? Now, for those who may not be familiar with a parable, they're basically a very everyday stories that Jesus intended us to ponder, to really mine the deeper meanings of. And so what I thought we might do this morning with this parable is do a little Bible discovery method with it. So what I'm going to invite you to do in a moment, now that you've broken the ice with people near you, I'm going to invite you to get into huddles of 2 or 3 people, and just for you to share the things that you observe in this story. But before we do that, I'm going to reread the story. And as I reread it, I'm going to reread it in a different version. And as I do, what I would love you to do is just ponder 2 questions. What do you observe about the master in this story? And what might it say about Jesus? And secondly, what do you observe about people in this story? So we're going to reread the story. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settled accounts with them. The man who'd received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness." The master with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "Wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they do have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So what I'd love you to do is gather in huddles, two or three people or whatever circle you can find where you can still hear one another, and just share your answers to these two questions. If you're at home, I encourage you to grab your Bible and to reflect on these questions at home. I think this is what Jesus intended his parables to be, right? You know, for us to, for the people who were hearing them to actually engage with, what's he talking about? What's he meaning? And I think sometimes we passively listen and we don't wrestle enough. So thank you so much for doing the wrestle. I think it's good. You know, in telling this parable, Jesus really was highlighting that when he returns, he's going to be looking for whether we've been faithful in the things that he's given us to be and to do. And, you know, this little picking up of you know, gosh, the master's very harsh there. You know, couldn't we be portrayed a little bit nicer or whatever? You know, there's some sense, I was reflecting on that just then and just thinking, if he was portrayed as this gracious, you know, loving, you know, it's all fine, don't worry about it. It wouldn't be clear that we do have this responsibility that he takes seriously, would it? So you do have to portray the master as that place of, no, there is accountability in this. And it's not a, oh, it'll all be fine, don't worry about it kind of place. He wants us to know. So he's looking for faithfulness. It's really not to portray who he is, except to say that he's going to hold us accountable. But we are to be faithful. And it's not that we earn our salvation by our works, but that our works demonstrate our commitment and our love that we had for Christ. Jesus said in John 14, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command you." We are saved by faith in Christ alone. But when Jesus returns, he'll want to know whether we've used what he gave us for him and to grow his kingdom. And so in our lives, what is a talent meant to represent? We've gone there a little bit, but Bible scholars suggest that a talent represents things like our skills and our natural abilities, the spiritual gifts that God gives us, the gospel, or the word of God, that we're to apply it in our own lives and we're to be diligent in sharing it with others. And also the physical resources that we've been given, our time, our wealth, like all the things that we have been given. And so basically a talent, or, you know, this bag of gold, as it's spoken in the story, is meant to represent the things that God has given us. And I think we arrived there in our conversation just then. So the point is to highlight the need for active faithfulness rather than spell out exactly what a talent is. I want to share three things that I note from this parable, and some of you have picked up on these things as well. Firstly, God entrusts every follower with kingdom responsibilities. We don't know whether he had 3 servants or, 20 servants or whatever. But, as you say, even the ones who didn't have the bags of wealth, were still entrusted to look after his estate if that's what was going on in the story. But really, all of us have been entrusted with kingdom responsibilities. And so, as his followers, we don't get to passively observe while others do the heavy lifting of serving and sharing and giving. Every follower of Jesus has a God-given responsibility to use what we have for him in order to grow his kingdom. The second thing that I note about the master is that, and you've picked up on this, is that he knew the differing capacities of the servants and he gave them different amounts. Some of the things that you and I have been entrusted with are the same. We all have the same amount of time. We all have money, though amounts of that may differ. But we all have it. But then there are things that differ between us. Our unique giftings and skills, all wired together in your unique personality. You have the culture that you have come from, the background and life experiences that you have, and the wisdom that therefore you bring into now, the education that you have, etc. Jesus knows you, and he knows how he's wired you, what he's given you, and he knows your capacity as well as your limitations. I think it's important for us to recognize that as we go through life, there can be some things that happen, health things that come up or aging, things that impact our capacity. And it's okay, Jesus knows you. And so it's about us adapting through the different seasons of life, but not laying it down and going, I can't do anything now. It's just adapting, going, what does it look like in this next piece where my limitations kick in a little bit more. Christ does know our changing capacities and we'll be accountable for what we were able to do, not what we weren't. And can I just add that Jesus' measure won't be success or brilliance, it seems. And so the master's response to his first 2 servants, you notice this, right? It wasn't, well done, you have been so successful, you are brilliant, awesome work. But rather, what was it he said? Well done, good and faithful. You have done what I required of you. And so it's about this faithfulness to the things that God has given you and I. How can I be faithful in using what he's given me so that when he comes, we're actually able to go, well, here's what I was able to do with the things that you gave me. A few months ago, Steve and I had the privilege of conducting a funeral for a long-term member of PBC. Brian was a quietly spoken, unassuming man. He wasn't the kind of man who would lead groups of people. You would never find him up the front. I don't think we even really had him come to morning tea and want to be part of chit-chat. That wasn't how he was wired. And yet for those of us who were at Brian's Thanksgiving service, we discovered what a big imprint his life had had. You see, over the course of Brian's life, Brian didn't focus on who he wasn't. Instead, he gathered up all the threads of who he was and what he'd been given, and he faithfully used them to serve God and others. And so Brian, one of the things Brian was he was really creative, and he loved beautiful things, and he also loved to garden. And so he would make the most beautiful flower arrangements to bless people. Brian was also a learner, and he cared about the environment, and he cared about issues of social justice. And so it was only after he passed that we learned how widely read he was on these topics, and he then wrote informed letters to to governments and prime ministers, not only in Australia but around the world. And he had like appealing for change in these areas. And he'd received a number of letters back. Brian was also a caring man. And being single, he had time and he had a car. And so he became reliable transport for a number of people who needed it. You know, for me, Brian is such a lovely example of what it looks like for someone to use their talents. I love that he was able to use all the uniqueness of who he was, not just kind of look up the front and go, well, I can't do that, but rather gather up all those bits and pieces of who he was and then give them back to God and serve him and others through that. You know, I think for each of us, it really is asking the question, who am I and what do I have? And the answer of nothing is never in the equation unless you want to diminish God. But finally, as we consider what our responsibilities are, I think, you know, as Mark picked up, it is worth taking a closer look at the third servant there. Perhaps there are a couple of reasons why he failed to carry out his responsibilities. As we said, fear was one of them. So he said, I was afraid, so I took the safe option. But the master said he was lazy. Perhaps both were true. And certainly both can be true for us. You know, fear can immobilize us from doing something for God. Fear of Bitcoin, but, you know, it might be. For us, the fear of trying something new, the fear of being criticized, the fear of being vulnerable, the fear of not knowing enough, the fear of appearing stupid, the fear of failing, the fear of public speaking, you know, all kinds of fears can stop us. I wonder if there was a fear that is holding you back. Now, what might it be? If we don't push ourselves, if we don't push through our fears, the reality is they can immobilize us. I never, ever would have seen myself as someone who would speak from the front. For a number of years, I had many reasons why I would not do this. I had every justification under the sun. But it really was just pushing through that fear, because behind all of those reasons was this, I'm shy. I don't want to be up here. But it's about pushing through our fears. But the other thing that can immobilize us is also laziness. You know, things are kind of comfortable the way they are. And so we don't want to exert ourselves too much. Or perhaps we want to avoid stress or pain. Or maybe you think, gosh, if I just take on another thing, I'll be too busy. And I just want to say it's important to say no to things. But just make sure that you're not saying no to the things that have eternal value because you're saying yes, too many yeses to the things that will be neither here nor there when Christ returns. So coming back to our Bible discovery method approach today, the third question actually of BDM is, what might I do in response to this? And I think it's a really good question, because Jesus never intended us just to intellectually grapple with something. He intended for it to become part of our ongoing transformation. So as we've unpacked this parable, is there something that the Holy Spirit has been encouraging you with or challenging you about? Is there something that you need to step into? Or an attitude, perhaps, that you need to shift? Is there an area of resistance that you need to surrender? What might the Holy Spirit be drawing to your attention? And what would he have you do in response to it in this parable? I'm just going to give you just a moment to just dwell with that. This series and this parable are good news. Jesus is coming back again. And for those of us who have trusted Christ and we've done our best to use the things that he's given us to serve him and to serve others, we have nothing to fear. You know, remember, Jesus isn't looking for success or brilliance. He's looking for faithfulness and he's looking for perseverance. Right now, we really are living in the microdot of eternity. And so let's be sure to seize every day and seize every opportunity to live in this microdot well and to invest in it in such a way that the things that we're sowing into and investing time and money and energy and ourselves, our skills and abilities into actually are things that will have lasting value. And often the things that do have lasting value are people, right? Let's live for God well. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I want to thank you. We know that though the master in this story is portrayed as very harsh, Lord God, we want to thank you that you are loving and kind, and we know that. We thank you also, though, in your kindness that you actually make it very clear that we are still accountable for what you've given us and that we've been entrusted with the things that we have, not to use solely for ourselves, but to sow back in, to bless you, to love you well and to love those around us well. And so, Lord God, I just want to pray for each of us. Lord, in the things that you put your finger on today, Lord, I want to pray that we would be responsive, Lord, not to walk away from this message with an overwhelming sense of guilt, but, Lord, to be able to lean into you, to listen to what your Holy Spirit is just encouraging us with or prompting us in, and that we would be responsive to him. And that piece by piece throughout our lives, we would continue to be responsive to him, using the things that you've given us well to sow into others and to grow your kingdom. We bless you. Amen.